Hi, this is Jerry from SharePoint. This episode is part of a series where we check in with past guests to see how they're dealing with the COVID-19 situation. Because we're doing this remotely, there may be some technical glitches as we go along. We hope you'll bear with us as we're committed to bringing you new content for as long as we can. Once it's safe to get back out, we'll return to our regular format. Until then, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to SharePoint, where we tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host.
I'm joined by Corey Mull from Manor Hill Brewing. Thanks for returning to the show, Corey.
My pleasure.
We originally had you on this past December under notably better circumstances. So how has COVID-19 affected your business?
So obviously we were not allowed to have guests at the farm anymore. We actually just opened up our farm beyond the 50-person limit. Mm-hmm. For one weekend before the world kind of changed and turned upside down. So now we're operating a curbside service out of our farm, which is nice. I mean, our farm has space and cars can come down the driveway and they still get to see the scenery and can pull through, but we're not having guests anymore. So our brewery team is kind of pulling double duty and we're all chipping in to help out in the curbside function when we can. But that's been the biggest change for us for sure.
What types of things have you guys had to do to, you know, maybe in the day-to-day operations to, you know, protect your employees and kind of work within these confines?
I mean, so brewing is about being clean and sanitizing to begin with. So we've got a lot of SOPs in place that helped us kind of prepare for this. So we're just doing a lot more cleaning. We're making sure our staff are, protecting themselves so that they're not bringing any kind of germs into the building with them. So kind of like doctors, when they come to you, they sanitize in and sanitize out. We're, mm-hmm. we're doing that as well. We're wearing gloves. We're wearing masks when we go out to greet guests in the curbside. So just kind of the common sense practices that, you know, the CDC and World Health Organization recommended, but we're just doing them a lot more often.
Are there any other things that you've had to do to kind of adapt to make the best of the situation, whether it's how you do things day to day or how you're doing your new business? And
yeah, the biggest change is everything's cans now with restaurants and bars closing. There's no market for draft beer anymore. I mean, a few restaurants that are open, even our own Victoria Gastropub is doing crowlers, mm-hmm. but that's not at the same volume from a draft beer standpoint that we were used to before, where we were at, you know, a 60-40 kind of ratio, cans to draft. Now we're all cans. That's all that our distributor's taking. That's all that we're selling out of our tap room. So it's changed a little bit in what volumes we should be brewing at and what our splits are going to be then at the end of that brew. But it's all canning. So our canning line is running, you know, 3 to 4 days a week now to keep up with that. And we're not doing any more keg beer until kind of we see things change.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing this curbside and you were kind of one of the first people that I noticed that kind of really jumped on it. So what kind of response have you seen? How have you noticed it going?
It's been great. I mean, we've definitely made sure that we've kept a healthy stock of our core beers. But we want to make sure that we back that up with some limited releases or some seasonal stuff to keep it interesting and give people a reason to keep coming back. And we're seeing that. We're seeing people come back because we have different beers available and people coming back because it's so safe and easy. You don't have to get out of your car. You just drive the loop and pop your trunk and we put it right in your car. You know, we check your ID through the window and we just put it right in your car. So people are coming back and that's been very helpful. It's been good. I mean, it's not to the levels of business that we've had before the shutdown, but we're doing well from a curbside standpoint and enough that, you know, we had a delayed First Friday release last month and we're going to continue to figure out what that new limited release schedule looks like so that we can kind of keep some interesting beers here as well.
Okay. So again, it's not ideal, but given what you've been able to do, do you think this is going to be able to sustain you until the quarantine is lifted?
The curbside, and we're still sending beer to Legends, our distributor. So mm-hmm. so bars and our liquor stores in Maryland and DC are still open and they're still buying our beer. So we're still sending beer out to our distributor weekly. So that combined with what we're doing here at the farm is definitely enough to keep the team that we have to be continued to be employed. And that's kind of what we're aiming for right now, just to sustain and keep all of our brewers and our salespeople employed to be able to kind of get through this until things return.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Do you guys get any type of regular communication, whether it's from local or county government or anything like that, as far as updating you on things that may change policy-wise or what might be coming down the pipe? Or
yeah, I mean, the Brewers Association of Maryland's been pretty front and center, helping all the brewers stay up to speed with any new grants or any new loans that are coming through both the federal and state government. So they've helped us stay in touch with that as, you know, small business owners for the last 15 years through our restaurants. We're already plugged into some of that as well. So some of it's been a do-it-yourself and some of it's been relying on both the local Brewers Association as well as the National Brewers Association, who interprets those rules for our specific industry then.
Okay. Well, you know, let people know how they can help, what types of things they can do to help you guys out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just buy our beer when you see it at a liquor store and definitely come out to the farm. We're totally contactless. So you go to ManorHillBrewing.com/curbside. Mm-hmm. You can shop and pay for your order through a secure website there. And then come by the farm and we'll come out with our masks and our gloves and we'll say hi and check your ID and then put the beer in your car and you'll be on your way. We've also been doing sparkling water for about a year now, but it's just been a slow kind of build. It's non-alcoholic, all natural flavored, kind of like a LaCroix or bubbly, mm-hmm. but locally produced. And we're starting to ramp up our kind of distribution of that product. And we've been giving away a free 6-pack to anybody that places an order curbside. So just a little thank you for people supporting us. You know, we throw a 6-pack of lime or tangerine sparkling water their way. So it works both ways. We thank them for coming to us, and obviously, you know, they appreciate the favor in return.
Right. Now, and through this online ordering, I'm guessing that they could do merchandise or gift cards or things like that to also help.
Exactly.
You out?
Yeah. Glassware, merchandise, hats, sweatshirts, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. We never had much of an online store before and definitely didn't have, you know, the ability to sell beer this way, but it's developed kind of a competency for us that we're going to figure out a way to do it beyond just this temporary time. Mm-hmm. It's been a good kind of skill for us to pick up and figure out how to use it long term.
Right. And tipping, you can go ahead and do gratuity and everything like that to kind of
help people. Yeah, so through the website, gratuities are on there, and that's actually been a really big way to help keep our brewers and kind of supplement what we're paying them so that they can kind of keep working and keep helping out. So yeah, everybody's been very generous with tipping, and that's seamlessly through the checkout process of our website.
Okay. That's great. So May 1st, got a release. Talk about that.
Yeah. So as you and I talked about the last time you were here, we do a first Friday release every month. And so we had a delayed release. It was actually second Friday in April when we did Vanilla Beak, but it was well received. The beer moved pretty quickly. I think we only have a handful of 4-packs left now. So it sort of indicated to us that there is an appetite in a market for still doing limited releases. So we're going to get back on schedule. And May 1st, we're releasing from our Jousting Windmills series, which is the fruited sours. We're doing one called Fruity Peppers. So it's got tangerine, blood orange, and Trinidad scorpion peppers. Ooh. So you get this tart, citrusy kind of up front, and then a little bit of heat on the back end. It's one of those beers where like, oh, I need to drink something. And then you kind of just get this like cycle of like refreshing tart citrus, and then the heat kind of hits it again. So we're excited to put that one out.
So you were talking about you know, things that might stay. You know, you picked up more of an online presence, and so, you know, that obviously when things get better, you can carry that over. Are there any practices like this curbside pickup, things like that you think might continue once the quarantine's lifted?
I mean, the biggest one is curbside, and I don't know exactly what that looks like post-quarantine, but the fact that we have this capability now stood up and ready to go. There's no reason why, you know, in the past when we were only open Fridays and Saturdays, we only sold our beer out of the tap room on Fridays and Saturdays. Well, now, you know, if you can place an advanced order online and set a pickup time and we're here, we can set those hours, then we can sell our beer, you know, 7 days a week or at least 6 days a week through that means. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're going to take away. Beyond that, I don't, you know, I guess it'll remain to be seen how kind of bars and restaurants and as a tap room, we have somewhat of a bar vibe that how it's all going to adjust from a social distancing, from, you know, the number of tables in the restaurant. You know, it's way too early to know what's going to stay from that standpoint. But, mm-hmm. you know, we have a lot of room on the farm, so that certainly works in our favor.
Yeah, no, that's like you're saying, you do spread out still that you can yeah. ease your way back into it. But that's what I'm most curious, and that's what I'm kind of talking with people as we revisit with our guests, is just, you know, how much of these law changes do we think could continue to just stay in place, you know, post-quarantine because, well, they worked. And, you know, you guys are going to need to get a little bit of an extra boost once this starts, because they could lift it, you know, they lift it a month from now. When are people going to feel comfortable to kind of come back out and be in a public setting, and knowing that, you know, small businesses like yourself, you're going to still have to kind of recoup, you know, a lot of what you lost. Because like you said, you get a lot of what's coming out of the tap room as opposed to, you know, liquor stores and things like that.
Yeah. And we didn't pick up on we didn't do the delivery thing, but I know a lot of breweries are doing delivery. So yeah, there's a lot of changes that have been made to our industry. That'll be interesting to see how, you know, things are kind of tapered back to reality and how things work out once this is all over.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing that you guys are doing is great because you're giving back to the community. You're trying to look out for them. You worked with McClintock Distilling, creating hand sanitizer. So talk about that work you did with them and then how that sanitizer is being used and distributed, because that's a great community service.
Yeah, so McClintock reached out to us. They quickly shifted their up, and we did just so you know the background of us and McClintock, we did a collaboration with them the end of 2019 into 2020, where we aged some of our beer. It's called My Old Friend, so we aged it in their barrels, and then we sent them some of that beer, and they're distilling the beer to create a liquor out of it. So we've had this relationship with them through more traditional kind of barrel aging beer exchange process. But just a month ago or so, they reached out because they've been accepting donations. They shifted their operations to create hand sanitizer because they're a distiller and they can distill to produce alcohol for hand sanitizers. They reached out to us to see if we had any alcohol to donate. They had been getting wine from various vineyards nearby, and a lot of the breweries in their area aren't quite as large or don't have the capacity that we do to have excess beer to donate. So because of our relationship, they reached out, and as I mentioned, we shifted to all canning. So we're sitting on kegs of beer that are gonna, you know, go out of date if we don't do something with them. So we wanted to give them a more meaningful purpose. And so we sent them over 500 gallons of beer that then they distilled, they picked up in their truck and took it back to their facility and distilled it into hand sanitizer. We donated some of it to Grassroots, which is a local Howard County nonprofit, as well as the Community Action Council, which operates the Howard County Food Bank.
Okay.
So those two locations kind of benefited. And it was Braden from McClintock that was like, hey, this is your beer that we're distilling. So if you have somewhere that you want it to go, let us know. And, you know, we can reserve it for them. And so that was kind of how that all came about.
That's great. I mean, you know, you guys have always, like you said, been connected to your community, and you have that really special bond and relationship with being a farm brewery. So when I saw that you guys were doing that, I'm like, well, we definitely have to talk about that, because people don't understand, you know, how much small businesses are entrenched in the communities and how much they give back. And, you know, you guys are obviously trying to do what you need to do to stay afloat and come out of this on the other side, but you're still finding ways to try to help people with what's going on. And I was like, we got to talk about that, because that's great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, McClintock did all the work. They have the equipment to do the distilling, but Yeah, you're right. It was just one way to do something was a little bit, you know, outside of what we normally do and to help some other people that needed it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Corey, I want to thank you for your time. I hope you and everyone at Manor Hill stay healthy and busy.
Yeah.
And then I look forward to a time in the near future when you and I can share a pint again in person.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jerry.
You bet. I'm joined now by Keith Kaur from Wardaka Brewing. Thanks for returning to the show, Keith.
Cheers.
We originally had you on this past January under notably better circumstances. So let's talk about what you're dealing with. How has COVID-19 affected your business?
Yes. So kind of that beginning of March was definitely a whirlwind for sure. We were kind of day to day and almost hour to hour there for a little bit. You know, March 17th, or I guess maybe March 16th, Monday, March 16th, the notice came down from the governor that all tasting rooms obviously have to close down. So we that kind of changed our business pretty hard. We were 7 days a week. Right now we're operating 5 days a week with delivery and curbside pickup only. So for us, we be really busy Thursday, Friday. You know, the community has been really supportive. We're finding our busiest days are linked to when we have fresh canning days. We had in the plans to do mobile canning through Ironheart Canning. We had that in the plan. Our first canning date was March 31st, and that was in the plan kind of this past Christmas. We had all that kind of thing scheduled. That has worked out to be very beneficial. We've already done our second canning run. We did another canning run on April 20th. So we are finding our busiest days are when we have the widest selection of those cans available. So right now we have four cans available, our Beecher, our Winslow, our White Flag, and our Polonia Pilsner. And it seems our customers are really responsive when those fresh cans hit the market. So delivery and curbside pickup is what it's become, and that's kind of what it's become for everybody. You know, the only part of our business that we're not really leveraging is package stores, either in grocery stores or liquor stores, and we're just not quite there yet with volume. But that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay. Well, I do remember that when we chatted, you had talked about that the canning was coming, you know, towards the beginning of March or somewhere in March. So when all this hit, I was like, wow, I hope the timing works out enough that you're able to do exactly what you said you were able to, and that is be able to have some product to move to customers.
Yeah, Ironheart's a really professional company. They've been around for 6 years now, and there's a fairly lengthy onboarding process, and mm-hmm. you were lucky to have that ball rolling for the onboarding process. You know, that was all kind of in the past before COVID kind of came down and closed everything up. So we were really lucky to have that ball rolling when we did. Every small brewery that's in our position that relied heavily on on-premise consumption and then draft for distribution is in that position of trying to scramble and get crowlers or get 16-ounce cans available. And we were lucky to, like I said, already have that ball rolling, and we've upped our volumes and we've added canning dates. Basically everything is going into aluminum, either 32-ounce crowlers behind the bar or 16-ounce cans with Ironheart. So, and that's, again, that's pretty much the boat that everybody's in. So our business is relying on aluminum right now.
Right. Well, it's recyclable, so we're doing our part for Earth Day, which was just recently. So so tell me, under the current model, do you think what you guys are doing is going to be enough to sustain you until the quarantine's lifted?
You know, it's definitely a different business. You know, we look at sales numbers and things like that. And, you know, the sales numbers are good. Like I said, it's a different business. What's a little tough is that you're never going to be able to meet the margin that you make by pouring a 16-ounce beer into a glass. You know, mm-hmm. that that does a lot of things. There's margin in that. There's also this connection that we have to our customers when they come out and, you know, kind of sit around the farm and drink a glass of beer. You know, there, that does so much for our brand building and really solidifying kind of who we are. Us not having that, it's going to be tough. Again, we have been blown away by the support from the community. I think what we're really benefiting from is we have 4 years of kind of brand building, you know, under our belt. And so we do have some very supportive, very loyal, you know, customers, and they have been keeping us rolling, you know. Come July, June, July, August, September, you know, things are going to be tight, you know. We have a big spring and big fall, you know. Those are kind of our heavy hitting months, and you know, we're down to a skeleton crew, and like I said, the community's being supportive as they can, but June, July, August, you know, that's going to be those are tough months for everybody if the economy is kind of grinded to a halt as it is. So like I said, it's doing great, but it's a different business. You know, we're making a lot of beer, we're selling a lot less beer, and the beer that we are selling is at a lower margin. So, you know, all those kind of reshuffle how the business looks for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about what people can do to help. You know, give the details of, you know, what they can do for pickup, cool. How that work process works for you, merchandise, gift cards, anything like that that's going to help you out.
Sure. So again, the community's been so supportive. I did close to 20 deliveries today, and a lot of those are repeat customers, and a lot of them are new customers. The biggest thing people can do is go to orderwaradaka.com. That's our kind of central hub for kind of taking and then distributing orders. There they can choose delivery, or they can choose a pickup window on Wednesday to Sunday. You know, pickup window of 15 minutes, you know, between 3 and 7 o'clock. So they can pick up anywhere from 3:15 to 6:45. They can drive by, take a nice drive out to the farm and pick up, you know, pick up any, you know, we're doing the 32 ounce crowlers. We have those back in stock. Aluminum is like gold right now. So we have the 32 ounce crowlers available. We have the 16 ounce four packs, you know, and anything that's available in four packs, that's basically the only way we're selling it. We're trying to move those 16 ounce cans. But then anything else that's not in four packs, you can get in the 32 ounce aluminum crowlers. We're also doing the glass 64 ounce and a stainless steel 64 ounce. That's a great way, you know, that's kind of your best kind of bang for your buck, you know, dollar per ounce kind of deal is, you know, buyer in bigger volumes. If people are really looking to buy in volume, you can buy a Sixtel. You know what I mean? I think the kegerator market is probably doing pretty good right now. Because if I was a big beer drinker, you know, you can come buy Sixtels that we have available. That's a 5.16 gallon. Again, that's by far your best dollar per ounce way to do that. Those are all at $95 mostly. And then we have all our food available. You know, I delivered some food today as well, salami and hummus and cheese. And then all the merch that's available is also on that site, orderwaradaka.com. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a great way to support us. You know, we are doing some flash sales. So like, that's a great way to, you know, get a discounted item. You know, we're selling it a little bit above cost to us, but just kind of trying to liquidate some of the items that we're sitting on. Basically anything you can do, gift cards, you know, it's a great time too to buy a three pack or buy a couple four packs and send them to a friend of yours for kind of a virtual happy hour. You know, I did that today. Somebody bought it for their brother's birthday, and I delivered beer to two different people with the same last name. And I think one was a surprise, and I think they're going to have a scheduled kind of happy hour this afternoon. So, it's a great time to kind of support or kind of surprise some of your friends that are in our area. And what I would encourage people to do too is, I mean, if you get a big enough order, if you get your neighborhood to order, if you're not in our zip code, send us an email, you know, info@Waradaka Brewing, you know, we'll probably go anywhere for $100. You know what okay. I mean? So you can get a group together to order, or, you know, we're, you know, we need the volume to be there, but we're really happy to go kind of wherever the people want us. So if you're not in our zip code, go ahead and just, you know, ask. we could probably make it work.
Okay. That sounds good. How about tipping? Do you guys put that in there too? Then they handle all that through the website?
Yeah, there is a $5 delivery charge. There's a $25 minimum for delivery and then a $5 delivery charge. And then, yeah, you can tip right in that ordering interface. You can tip right there. And people have been really, really generous. And then that's all going to help keep the business running and pay the employees. And, you know, it really affects everybody in a really meaningful way. So the community's been supportive, but we really encourage everybody to keep drinking local, and that's going to help everybody out.
Absolutely. And like we talked about in January, you guys have done a really nice job of connecting with your community, and you really outlined that. So it's good to hear that they're really taking advantage of standing behind you during something like this, because obviously if we don't support local, we're not going to have these breweries and small businesses when we come out on the other side.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, one thing I want to mention too, we're being, you know, hypersensitive from our sanitation process, you know, from our contactless delivery. It's a contactless pickup. You know, the whole tasting room, you know, there's a two-person maximum in the tasting room, basically one person filling orders and another person kind of organizing and getting the orders ready. And, you know, that whole room gets sanitized with isopropyl kind of three times a shift, and definitely a hard close down and a hard open. So, you know, all my contactless with the deliveries, you know, I'm not even touching the doorbell. I'm basically, you know, putting the beer on the stoop and kind of asking that there's a person, you know, I'll get back to my van and make sure I text to make sure I visually see that there's a person over 21. And if I deem that person needs to be checked ID'd, they can kind of flash their ID right to the back of the glass or the window. You know, and that's been working out great. You know, it's the best way to stay in your home, stay off the road, and we can make the beer show up there. And it's like I said, it's a great way to, you know, we see our customers and you know, if people need to drive, they can come out, but it's a great way to support us is to just get the delivery option and we'll make the beer come to you.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Well, I think you kind of listed a little bit. You were talking about some fresh cans and things. So what do you guys got new, or what's coming up in the immediate future?
So we did our Winslow New England Pale Ale, which is like an all mosaic with local grain and some local hops. It's a really crowd pleaser. It's 5.3%. You know, we did that's our second run of that, and that's been our most popular beer for sure. So look for that. That'll probably go out. That'll probably be here for this week and next, and then it'll probably be around for two more weekends, and then it'll be out. Our Beecher IPA is our Centennial Lemon Verbena kind of flagship IPA that's named after Beecher Butts, who is the patriarch of the farm. That also is its first time in cans. This time was the first time in cans, and that's been moving really well. Our White Flag Wit is our Belgian wit beer. Kind of really classic, kind of, you know, kind of Allagash white style Belgian wit beer. That's been moving really awesome as well. And then we're back with our Polonia Pilsner, which is I think it's 4.7% Pilsner, really easy drinking, you know, kind of something that a lawnmower beer, you can do some yard work and do some spring cleaning and drink a few of those at the same time. So that's what we did this run. And then what we're looking at next run, and that's going to be May 19th, I believe, is going to be canning once a month right now.
Okay.
May 19th, we're looking at, I think, Beecher and Winslow. Mm-hmm. And we had really good success with our Runaway Recruited Double IPA. We're going to do another one of those with oranges coming out May 19th. What else are we doing? Our White Flag, which is our that wit beer. So kind of three of the same cans, different Runaway. And then one that we're all really excited internally is our we make a spicy like margarita goza. So it's like a jalapeno lime goza. So it's like already salted because it's got that salt from the goza. Mm-hmm. We've some dried jalapenos from the farm. And then some lime puree, and it's a crowd pleaser. If I recall, you're into the tart gozas, right? So I would, look for that one. I think we're going to put a little bit of draft out so you can kind of get crowlers, and then we're going to save some of that and can it So you can get, I think we're going to have some of that available for Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
That was the plan with that beer. Right. But draft, you know, we're trying not to carry too much draft because, it goes into cans either way. So I think we're going to have a little bit around for Cinco de Mayo, and then we're going to do a can and run of that May 19th as well. So that's kind of what to look for then.
Great. Well, that sounds good. Well, like I said, we're going to keep getting the word out, and that's part of why we want to keep revisiting with our guests and doing it this way with the show. Is I get a lot of people that ask what we can do, and so I'm like, hey, let's start revisiting with our guests. Let's find out how you guys are surviving, what we can do to help you out, and then just get the word out and just hopefully get through the other side.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, if you're into craft spirits or craft beer, you should be trying to buy as local as you can. You know, that every dollar spent goes right back into the community. It goes right back to the same people that you're, that are missing the restaurants. It goes right back to the people that are in your neighborhood. So, if there's a craft distiller or a craft brewery, or a craft soap maker, anybody that's a small producer right now, they need you. And so that's the biggest thing you can do to help and spread the word and buy it for your friends and family. And, if you can financially swing it, you know, we appreciate it all.
Absolutely. Well, Keith, I want to thank you for your time. I hope that you and everyone at Wardaka stay healthy and busy. And then I look forward to a time in the near future when you and I can share a pint again in person.
Don't we all, man. I can't wait to drink beer with everybody out there. And Jerry, thank you so much for spreading the word.
Hey, you bet, man. Anything we can do. Now more than ever, it's important for you to drink and support local. Buy beer, merchandise, gift cards, even just tips that can be given to workers to help them get through. If we all do our small part, we can get through this, and our favorite breweries will be waiting for us on the other side, where we'll be able to share a pint in person. Until then, thanks for listening.
Share a Pint is released bi-weekly on Friday mornings and can be found at sharepintpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at share_pint. Show notes for this episode are available at sharepintpodcast.com. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin MacLeod and can be found online at incompetech.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at sharepintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Hulla. Prost.